Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
115 over here, and I'm 115.
115er.
Hey, I like your little shirt you're wearing today. How'd they do against
Shut up.
Okay. So moving on.
Moving on. He's referring to my Seahawks going down to the Bengal Tigers in overtime. Anyway, Mike Ott will be happy.
Is he from Cincinnati?
No, but he's a whiny little bitch who thinks
the Seahawks have, you know. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, he's still bitter about, you know, us trouncing Green Bay a couple times.
Baby, so. If you ever wonder whatever became of me. Anyway, so we have a different format today.
A little bit,
because,
yes.
Because we're skipping Bard v. Bard. We are skipping most of our week in review.
Are we skipping Bard v. Bard?
Well, I didn't. No, we're not. I brought my research and I just forgot about it. So, no, we are doing Bard v. Bard, but we are highly abridging our week in review. I wrote.
I'm editing.
Thank you. That was our week.
Those are our weeks.
We have a lot of questions piled up over the last week because of our huge, huge, double-sized, double-stuffed, three-hour 15-minute podcast.
Yeah.
So we are going to move on to... Do you want to go to Bard v. Bard first?
Yeah.
Let's just knock that. Bard v. Bard. So the whole Bard versus Bard this week, I believe, and forgive me because it's been 2 weeks, I think Amanda Cook suggested something about which state you would like to live in or which state was most embarrassing.
I believe so.
And so
having to do with her being in Indiana and all the shit this last year,
yeah,
that has been part of Indiana
you
shame.
You shouldn't have to fucking vet your pizza company, but you do.
Yeah.
So we picked a state. Scott picked a bunch, I think. I picked a state based on its stupid laws, and I want to tell you about a few of those laws. And then this isn't like a versus thing. I mean, we could do it where I guess the state. You want to try
right.
that? Okay. You already know my state, though.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go first?
Yes. I'm going to... I had two different things, because I didn't know how we were going to do this. So, okay. I have two different things. I just found a narrative of ridiculous from many states.
Okay.
And it's kind of...
Well, here, just make sure that you don't hit any of mine, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them off, but have the listeners try to guess the state before the end.
Oh, I'm then going to let you go first.
Oh, okay. So, the state I chose, here's a state law from the state. It is illegal for a man to give his sweetheart a box of candy weighing less than 50 pounds. So... ladies, that's your state. You may not fish on a camel's back. I think it means off of, but it says on. So perhaps camel's backs... I mean, I know they have water in them. Maybe they're fecund with fish. And, this is my favorite, riding a merry-go-round on Sundays is a crime. I assume... I don't know. It's one of those weird, like... broken God things. Like, you can eat a beautiful bird as long as you do it under a napkin, because while he's all seeing, that's his fucking like lead shield. God can't see through napkins, right?
Right.
So
right.
Maybe merry-go-rounds just give him like whatever God IBS is on Sundays. Now, here are some individual city laws. Residents may not fish from a giraffe's back. They've expanded the camel law,
yes,
to include giraffes. If a police...
because they're just long-necked camels.
Right, right.
Really.
And I will say that these laws, these are not put... most of these aren't serious laws. These laws get added as riders to prevent people from voting for bigger laws. So when you're trying to block a law, mm-hmm, you will rewrite it to include something ridiculous like you can't fish off of a camel's back. In this case, it might be real because it is an extension of the... maybe there's a problem with zoos in this state.
Could be.
So, if a police officer approaches a vehicle and suspects that the occupants are engaging in sex, he must either honk or flash his lights and wait for 3 minutes before approaching the car. That's a pretty good law.
That's courtesy.
That's a pretty good law.
That's
not dumb.
Courtesy.
That's just nice. So remember, if you're it's if he suspects you're having sex. So if you are running from the fuzz, steam up those windows.
Yeah.
Steam them up. Okay. Dirt may not be swept from one's house into the street. Bicycles are not allowed on tennis courts. I love that one.
Wow.
And persons may not camp out on the sidewalks, which is obviously just a class war law. It's right. Basically fuck you, homeless people. So, but the first two. Also from this city, I know this law was recently struck, but they had an anti-sodomy law that basically stated it was a state felony if you engaged in premarital sex, the very same city that you can't sleep on the sidewalk. So,
wow.
Yeah. And the last city that I researched in the state has a law passed in 1912 that carrying of concealed weapons is forbidden, okay, unless some are exhibited to public view. So you can have a bunch of guns under your coat as long as you have one on the outside. And finally, a person may not be seen in public without a smile on their face. When I tell you the city, you will realize that that is a very tough law to follow. So go ahead and make your guesses. And the state is Idaho. Of course it's Idaho. The city laws, Boise, you can't fish from the back of a giraffe. Coeur d'Alene is where a police officer must wait 3 minutes if you're boning. Eagle is the no camping, can't sweep dirt, and premarital sex was a felony. They struck that one though, but it was used mostly to to jail people on public assistance. So it was a really, really terrible law. And then finally, the city where you can't be seen without a smile on your face is Pocatello, Idaho, where it is physically impossible to have a smile on your face unless you are eating at Buddy's Italian Restaurant, which has the best salad you will ever have in your life. It's only barely salad. It's fat with some lettuce in it. It's wonderful. So there, those are mine.
I am having a horrible allergy day, so my apologies to everyone. Am I breathing better? Okay, so on my lists of things, I'm glad that we went over yours first because...
Gesundheit.
On my lists, I have Pocatello, Idaho doesn't let motorists or pedestrians scowl or grimace.
Yeah, so that's an extension of the smile on your face.
Yep. One that I found that I know to be true because I read it on the license. Oregon prohibits canned corn as fishing bait.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
And I have been warned number of times that I've bought
don't use this for
fishing tickets.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Don't use that.
I thought when you were buying canned corn, which you do often.
Yes.
Big canned corn fan.
Not. I am with a little salt, pepper, and garlic powder.
Now I heard that came from catfishing specifically, and it was a chumming tool.
Yeah. So because you just take the cream corn,
right,
and throw it out there, and they're like. Rawr. So I found the top 22
nice
dumbest laws in our sweet, sweet nation.
Are we going
22
descending
to 1?
Okay, yep. Cool. So ascending.
So number 22, bingo games cannot last more than 5 hours in North Carolina.
Oh, thank Christ.
Chickens are not allowed to cross the road in Quitman, Georgia.
Why?
If you cut down a cactus, you could be sentenced to 25 years in prison. I'm going to let you guess the states on these.
I'm going to go with Arizona.
Yes.
Because the sequoia cactus is... sequoia? Is that right?
I don't know that it's a sequoia cactus, but it's one of them that is a protected species.
Okay.
Policemen are allowed to bite a dog if they think it will calm the dog down.
Oh, God. New York?
Paulding, Idaho.
Oh!
Sorry, Ohio.
Okay, that's...
Yeah. It's illegal to sell your eyeballs.
Well, that's just good. That's just good measure. I know you... Is this a coastal state?
Yes, ish.
Ish? Oh, ish, like southern coastal? Oh, like Louisiana? No? What is it?
Think bigger.
Texas?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It's against the law to sing off-key. Thank God. Finally, a state passed that.
Well, that's... I mean, I would say that's got to be California. It's not California. Let's go with... I don't know, man. The Beatles tried to warn me about this one. What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Tennessee.
Wow. North Carolina.
Oh!
You may not sell toothpaste and a toothbrush to the same customer on a Sunday.
What? That's a ridiculous law. That's amazing.
This is a ridiculous state as well.
Okay, Virginia has bad teeth, so I'm going with Virginia.
Close again, Rhode Island.
Damn it!
You are not allowed to eat fried chicken any other way than using your hands.
Louisiana. No?
Gainesville, Georgia.
Oh. Louisiana's fried chicken capital of America. I had to go with that. Okay, I guess Kentucky could have been considered, but Louisiana's got better fried chicken.
Yeah.
Popeyes, motherfucker.
Marriage between cousins is against the law only if they are younger than 65.
Alaska? I was just thinking the number of
think
people.
Think wool underwear.
Think wool underwear? Like Michigan?
Sorry. Woolen pajamas. Magical pajamas.
Oh, Utah.
Yes.
Okay. They're not wool, they're cotton now.
Oh, okay.
Garments.
Red cars may not drive down Lake Street.
Michigan. I don't know.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
It's forbidden for a female to appear unshaven in public. I don't know what that means. I am reading it from the list.
I feel... Okay, so I feel like this seems like a backward southern law. I feel like it's a northern law. I feel like it's going to be like New Hampshire or Vermont.
Carrizozo, New Mexico.
Oh! Well, it was a new... Well,
yes. Bear wrestling matches are prohibited.
I'm definitely going with Alaska on that one. It's prohibited. Prohibited.
Prohibited.
California?
A state, Alabama.
Oh.
You may not, number 10, you may not take a picture of a rabbit from January to April without an official permit.
What? I've got no idea on this one. Montana?
It's neighbor, Wyoming.
Wyoming, okay. Well, so I was thinking maybe what was the park, and I should have gone with Wyoming because more of the park is there.
9. You cannot buy meat of any kind on Sunday.
Boston? Or Massachusetts?
Washington.
Really? I totally have done... I've broken that law.
I plan to for dinner. It's illegal to attend a public event or use public transport within 4 hours of eating an onion or garlic.
Everywhere in the U.S. is where that should be a law. Every fucking place in this country. Florida.
Okay, I will give you a hint. Amanda Cook.
It's Indiana.
Yep.
Okay. I was going to go with Chicago originally because they got the dogs.
Yep.
But...
Let's see if you get this one. In San Antonio... Flirting... is against the law.
North Mexico.
Correct.
Okay.
Number 6. It's illegal for a man to give his fiance a box of candy that weighs more than 50 pounds or 22.5 kilograms.
That would be Idaho.
Yes, it would. A motorist with criminal intentions must stop at the city limits and telephone the chief of police as he is entering the town.
Oh, you know what? I'm going with Chicago on that one. Illinois.
Washington.
Oh, well, fucking broke that one too.
Number four.
Because I was going into town to buy meat on a Sunday.
Number four. If you are found stealing soap, you must wash yourself until the bar of soap has been completely used up.
Well, I know where it's not. I've got a few. Again, not Virginia.
Nope.
Let's go with Louisiana on that one again.
Arizona.
Arizona. Well, they don't have any water, so that's really tough.
I know.
That's an important.
Yeah. Or if you're my dad, and as a first grader, you say fuck.
You must eat the soap.
And then he says, "What did you say?" And you say, "Shucks." You get the pants down spanking for lying, and then you get to eat a bar of ivory until it's all gone. Yeah.
What was what's the name of that? Life Boy. Yeah.
At least it wasn't lava soap.
Yeah, that's true.
Three.
Mm-hmm.
If you have mustaches, it's illegal for you to kiss a woman. And I will tell you, this makes no fucking sense, but it's a city law in this state.
I don't know, man. I that's a tough one. Connecticut?
Think historically.
Where there would be a lot of mustaches?
Where there would be a lot of mustachioed gentlemen.
Like, so New York? Or Colonial Williamsburg, Pennsylvania?
I'm thinking Old West.
Oh. Wanted. Like Tombstone-y kind of Kansas City, Oklahoma?
Eureka, Nevada.
Oh, Nevada. Nevada.
Nevada.
Nevada.
Navarro, Navarro, whatever. Number two.
There's a difference there. All right. Dave's not here.
You're going to love this one.
Okay.
City law.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the second dumbest law in our great nation. It's against the law for a woman to drive a car in Main Street unless her husband is walking in front of the car waving a red flag.
Wow.
I got so close.
Wow.
To getting through all of that.
Oh, man. Let's go with one of the Dakotas. I don't know which one. No?
Go with the other geographic area that you keep landing on.
Like Georgia or Alabama or Louisiana?
The somewhere South? Right, yeah. Waynesboro, Virginia.
Virginia. It's also not... you can't legally drive unless it's powered by moonshine.
Mm-hmm. And the number one dumbest law on the books.
Yep.
You can be arrested or fined for harassing Bigfoot.
Well, that's got to be Washington or Oregon.
Washington.
Yeah.
And of the 22, the most
idiotic is the state
laws are in the state of Washington.
But I'm not embarrassed by that. I think that's a decent law. It's like,
oh, I think that all criminals should notify the chief of police before entering a town. That's a solid law.
Oh, I'm against the meat one for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just think about the fellatio implications alone.
Whoo. That's
Sunday's God's day. It's for missionary.
Ain't no filleting.
Ain't no filleting. Put your garments down.
No fillets, nor no filleting.
Oh. What about fish fillets? Because
fillet.
When they say meat, they don't mean meat. They mean the Catholic definition of meat, which means fish is okay. So.
Past Lent.
Yeah. Pescatore.
Okay.
So, we should get to some questions.
So, that was Bard v. Bard. Or whatever.
Which is like Kramer versus Kramer, but with a lot less crying and custody.
And less Barbra Streisand.
Unless, well, about the same amount. Less Dustin
like
Hoffman.
Butter. Okay, so do we want to do... Let's shake it up a little
just
bit.
Just go nuts.
Because we got some Twitter...
You're the one who's standing at a 90-degree angle to the screen. I see words elongated to the point where they're unreadable. So
okay,
go nuts. Pick your own adventure, Sparky.
So I'm just going to give you some news and maybe questions from our Twitter feed.
Yeah, let's do that.
Matthew Hunt.
Matthew Hunt.
At
our Kage, pal from Perth.
says, did you know that Tell Your Children by at One Foot on Shore, also known as Emily Rommel-Shimkus and company, has funded?
Yes.
Yes, we knew that.
We did know that.
Did you know that Andy shot and edited the Kickstarter video?
Yes, I did.
And that I assembled three of the
backer updates. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
but thank you,
go.
Matthew Hunt, and we'll put a link. Please go support it. It's wonderful.
Yes, it goes through the 14th of this month, so Wednesday.
Wednesday. Odin's Day, if you will.
RPG Research says...
Hawk Robinson.
Hawk Robinson has an interview about RPG Research and I believe the van.
Mm-hmm. Which we've talked
everything,
about before.
Which we have talked about before.
If you don't know what we're talking about, why are you listening to these out of order? Get your butt back to the ones we've talked about it, and then come back with all that knowledge.
Or go to
RPG
Research. He has been interviewed on the HBO show HBO Vice. There will be a link to that by Linkmaster General that you can go check out. But it was like a really good interview and a lot of information. And
HBO Vice, Didn't pick out Hawk to be into the alcohol smuggling and nudity. So
yeah, I don't think he's doing either of those with the RPG Research.
I think he has a vice on there for holding
the diecast miniatures while you paint them.
Yeah.
I think that's where HBO Vice
ventilation system as well. Oh yeah, that's true.
Because then you'd have the dental vice, you'd have the iron worker vice.
I heard the show is really gripping.
Mm. Ooh.
Okay, let's move on.
All right, Thomas Brophy writes in, hey, what would you guys prefer, more CGI in action films or less and go back to more old school effects?
I think we've answered this before, but I mean, I'll say it again. A mix is always best. A mix looks good. I just watched Jurassic World and it is 100% CGI painted. There's not even real water in it. The waves are fake and it looks obviously fake. I mean, multi-million dollar movie, probably people spent like just blood, sweat, and tears getting that thing together. But the actual digital painting, the CGI work didn't composite too great. It looks really cartoony and pretty shit. You go back to Jurassic Park 1994, which that movie desperately tried to do and failed in every way. The CGI only scenes look like ass, like double ass, like I went and ordered ass and they gave me extra ass without me asking. The CGI practical blended scenes still today look fantastic.
Yeah.
So you have the scene in the kitchen, for example, where you had practical people in costumes as the raptors. So the hands, some of the motion, the body work, that's all practical. And then they just painted some of the eye work and whatnot. It looks great.
The stegosaurus that's breathing is
today,
an animatronic.
It looks great today. Yeah. Still, that movie from 20 years ago, 21 years ago, that movie can drink and it holds up.
Yeah.
So for me, it's always been a mix. The best Alien effect, arguably, was a mix of practical for the mouth, face, and everything, CGI for the tentacles, which you can't do practically well.
Right.
So I'm going with a mix. I want to see them back off on the CGI dial a little bit, bring back up practical effects, merge them in a way that makes all of it believable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think using the CGI to accentuate, much like Mad Max.
Right.
You know,
which is exactly what that film did.
Right. And it used it in the right way. Now, I will say that sitting in Cinerama watching Jurassic World, it did not look as bad as I'm sure that it will when I watch it on an LCD TV.
Correct.
So,
the contrast is different. It's projected versus... Yeah.
So in the theater, it really, to me, held up and made me feel like I was back in the original stuff, not the later Jurassics.
Which were just cartoons. I mean, they were just cartoons.
Yeah. But they're ability, like Jeff Goldblum said, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Yes.
I never stopped asking.
Their conceit of what things would or wouldn't do starts to, well, we can have him riding a motorcycle with raptors running alongside of him. Okay, my brain knows there aren't raptors.
Mm-hmm.
This is CGI. Looks pretty good, except that that would never fucking happen.
Well, that's another now, conversation Avengers, entirely.
You know, Avengers and X-Men and all that stuff, I already know that shit's not going to happen, so I can willingly suspend the disbelief.
Right.
I know that we can't reanimate dinosaurs based on DNA from Amber. Mm-hmm. I get that. I got to throw away that, but...
Yeah, Amber's not going to give you any DNA. She doesn't like you.
No.
No,
you find that we've hit this point that Mad Max was awesome at.
Mm-hmm.
Here's actual people doing actual things, and we're just going to extend it.
Extend it, composite it,
with
put them together.
Some CGI stuff and make it awesome.
What I've noticed, and what the big issue here is, half of the CGI scenes you see, you don't notice at all. Ugly Betty is almost entirely CGI when they're outside of a set, when they're outside of a direct inside of a building set, because they're not shooting in New York. They're shooting in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's 100% CGI. That looks great. You can't tell. If you know, I mean, and that's a few years old and you still can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell on a really high def TV or anything. You look at Titanic. There were huge chunks of CGI in there, and unless you realize, like, the boat was flipped, which it was incorrectly flipped, you can't tell. That, like, that boat still today on Blu-ray looks pretty damn real, and it's fake.
Because in which?
Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not alive. Stuff that's not alive, its CGI is pretty easy.
Yeah.
But, like, this whole, like, that's why creature effects should be a composite of both.
Mm-hmm.
So do I feel that there should be more or less CGI? There should be exactly enough CGI to tell the story. Ex Machina doesn't have it. Every single shot in Ex Machina that features her, Ava, every single shot that features Ava, 100% of them have CGI.
Mm-hmm.
You don't notice it.
Nope.
Because it gets out of the way. It's about the character. The CGI augments your belief that this character is a robot.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get in the way. It doesn't try to be bigger than it is. Jurassic World, everything's about the CGI. They paid so much for that fucking the thing in the tank.
Yeah.
They paid so much for that.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, and spoiler alert, I guarantee you the end of that movie was rewritten by whoever wrote the original screenplay to make use of that fucking thing that they paid so much money for.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing is, I feel like the effects drove the writing in Jurassic World more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so anyway, that's my take.
Another one that I have seen recently, I'm starting to watch season 4 of American Horror Story on Netflix.
Yeah.
And there is a visual effect that I really had to look at hard and apply my knowledge of makeup and physics to figure out how much of this could possibly be done. And I know that it's either a complete half a face CGI, but there's a real person there, or it's a blend of special effect makeup and CGI.
Yep.
But it is the most awful, most naturalistic. I questioned whether or not they could find someone that had this particular affliction, because this is a freak show type scenario. But when you recognize who the actor is,
yes,
you will be blown away.
Yep.
Because, it is very uncomfortable, this particular series.
Yeah.
Or the season of the series. But it's really well done. Well, and really fucking creepy. It's finally
right
an American Horror Story.
Well, so American Horror Story is hands down, like, it's where directors go to play. They go try stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got an overarching story, but that story is really loose. It's just there to tie together essentially vignettes. And the thing about Freak Show is it's obviously heavily influenced by the 1920s film Freaks,
mm-hmm.
Which is a black and white film that starred actual circus performers. Kind of an amazing movie, actually. Like, nothing has ever been done like it since.
Yeah.
Nothing will ever be done like it, really, in that sense, where everything's authentic.
I believe in this. Have you seen any of it?
Yes, I have. And, like, a good example here, I forget her name, but one of the actresses plays the goon. She was the goon in the old Freaks movie. She has the, like, the weird sloped forehead, or the weird kind of pinheads.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking really authentic looking. She's not at all.
No.
That's makeup and post digital effects, but she looks perfect. So it's pretty impressive. There are of course amputees, a good example is there's a British guy in it.
Seal Boy.
Yeah. 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 So he's a British, podcaster, and BBC host. And he was, I forget his name off the top of my head, Matt something, I think. But anyway, he had thalidomide. He was a thalidomide sufferer. His mom took thalidomide while she was pregnant. So he has tiny flipper hands, essentially. And that guy is a great actor. So
yeah.
I'm so happy that he got to do this. But a lot of the main characters are abled.
Right.
Fully abled people.
Who, yeah.
You know.
Sarah Paulson and, mm-hmm. and the kid. But there are a few but that show actually, actual...
Yeah.
There's a woman who, from the waist down,
no legs. Yep.
And I think it's got to be the world's tiniest woman, because I am trying to figure out. There is no way that they can CGI that. There has been too much stuff.
They could. But what they can do is they can make her smaller. They can
right.
take a small person, a little person, and make them smaller.
Right.
And I think that's probably what they've done a little bit. But overall, still, it's the show is. Whether or not you like the stories or the storytelling or the writing, the show does break ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I will totally agree with that. Overall, it's probably, I think it's my favorite season of American Horror Story. I thought Coven was pretty terrible. The first season, I wanted to punch everything always and forever.
Yeah, I think they were just trying to figure it out.
Too much unnecessary camera work, especially like that. The repeated weird Dutch tilts over and over mm-hmm. and over again.
I like choose the one in the sanatorium, right? With
the nun?
With the... Adelou Pig, that'll do.
Yes. Cromwell.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yes, and he's like a Nazi doctor or whatever,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that one was cool. I liked Zachary Quinto's arc in that one mm-hmm. quite a bit. I liked Dermot Mulroney, is that right?
Either that or...
it's not Dylan McDermott. It's...
Okay, then it's Dermot Mulroney.
Okay. I think I was shocked because he comes out, and this is in season two, right? And he approaches Jessica Lange's character and is like, blah, 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 you're my... You know, you did this 40 years ago. I was 8 or 9 or something. You abandoned me. And I'm like, fucking A, dude. They've got like a 30 blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, he's 50. He was 50 in that show. He just doesn't age. He, like, just looks super young. What a dick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't like the first one with the Kurt Cobain kid. The first season just didn't click with me. I like the idea of a house, a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that idea. It just missed so much, and it was so predictable to me. Like, I knew the second when she stopped wanting to go anywhere, I was like, oh, okay, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
She never... That time with the thing, she never got out.
Yeah.
So.
But these having the... Which I wish True Detective would have done with keeping mm-hmm. Woody and Matthew, but they probably can't afford them anymore for
Colin,
True Detective.
Colin Farrell's got to be expensive, doesn't he?
Probably not the same. I mean, after they did True Detective, I mean, everything blew up for both of those
guys. True,
true. But that's what I'm liking is Jessica Lange. I get to see her out of she's in three of the seasons, mm-hmm. it's always something different. Everybody's got different accents. Mm-hmm. They're playing different types.
Oh, like Coven with the whole, like, yeah, the whole voodoo thing. And
oh, yeah. And that Kathy was interesting. Bates,
Kathy
is
Bates
just
was amazing.
Killing it.
She was amazing in that. And I just loved the concept of her character, too.
Yeah. And Angelica Houston mm-hmm. and Patti LaBelle comes into mm-hmm. this one. And Michael Chiklis. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
All right. Moving on. We've got RPG Research suggests for us a con badge.
Okay.
Doing a play on the Bards Suck
okay.
idea. A con badge that says, and he's got it in parentheticals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do it on the badge to make it work, but instead of Bards Suck, it would be two Bards Don't Suck. So the two and the don't would be somehow augmenting an existing Bard Suck, which is kind of cute.
It is.
I like that. It's a good idea.
You could somehow misconstrue it into a homophobic statement, I think, which worries me, but I don't know, it's fine.
You know, people want to do that. They're just,
I guess,
idiots.
It depends on which con too. Like,
true.
If you're going to Leather
Con,
yeah. If you're going to Dragon Con, if you're going to Dragon Con, it's, you want different things anyway. Like, it's
right.
Just what, like, I'm not a 15-year-old boy. On your shirt.
Or the AVA con.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
that,
yeah,
would probably
that would
be different interpretation.
That's the Adult Video Awards, folks.
Oh, and RPG Research also chimes in on our idea for a horror film where people do the right things.
Mm-hmm.
He is all in favor of
Yay!
Us making
I
something
think it's a great
like
idea.
So, going back to our original questions
Ooh.
In original-ish,
order.
As near as I can tell,
okay.
order.
That'll work.
Oh, Tim Martin says, yes, go with the Bard v. Bard for the new segment.
Okay, we just did.
Scoring system will need to be developed for bragging rights.
I think we should score it like Whose Line, where it just doesn't matter. So I think
we brag
one,
anyway.
In this one, you did more work, so you won.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I like that. Questions for Quiz the Bards, or whatever decide you call it, provided it needs a name. But since you named a new segment, you should also provide it a name for the question segment to be fair and so as not to leave out pre-existing conditions.
It feels like
Tim's going to law school on the side, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It's like stereo instructions.
But I think what he's saying is don't let the news section be the redheaded stepchild
yes.
of, you know,
okay.
oh, hey, what, I don't get a name? New segment gets a name. Ooh, it's Bard v. Bard. Hey, I've been here tried and true all the time. And
well, that's just two bards.
Nobody
that's
gets
just our banter. That's our that's our banter cast, man.
Pretty much. So Tim says, since you are already living the dream, doing two bards,
yeah,
other
dream.
Media and production work, acting along with cool and interesting tech stuff.
Sometimes in a dream you lose all your teeth. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah. Outside of all of this spiffiness,
mm-hmm.
what would be your dream career? Not a job. We're slaves to jobs. Example. What would you do? What would you want to do for a living that fulfilled your passions?
Oh,
also,
oh, go ahead.
He thinks it's time for him to cook us dinner again. It's been far too long. And
I agree
concur.
With that. I completely agree with that. You can cook us dinner. You're more than welcome to invite Brandon Sanderson back.
Yeah.
You know, that was fine. That was fun. Yeah. So I think my dream is just filmmaking, period. Like it's, and it, I don't have really exactly a, which part of that piece, because I like a lot of it. And mm-hmm. I like, the one thing I like about Seattle is also the one thing I hate about Seattle, which is nobody specializes, but it also means you get to try stuff out.
Right.
You get to go be a red shirt in a role and see if you can survive. And so, filmmaking, hands down, is what I would choose.
I would say in the same thing that, and while I appreciate you, Tim, believing this, and a lot of people, both that listen, including those who listen to mm-hmm. this podcast, and including Seattle area folk and mm-hmm. a wider range of folk, I do appreciate that you feel that we are living the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because we are doing that thing that we are passionate about.
Exactly.
I would actually like to be living the dream and not worrying about whether or not I'm going to be able to pay rent in December.
Yeah.
Which is where I'm at now because I am not getting enough paid work.
Right.
I am not out there really living the dream. I'm just blindly stabbing at it, doing it through sheer force of will because it's what I want to do. And if I can't start now, mm-hmm. when can I?
Right.
But to that end, could there be a, and I don't want, we've talked about this before, and I think Andy is right there with me. We want pay our bills money and the freedom to do what we want.
Yes. I don't Not, want rich,
I want
rich,
millions.
Rich. Yeah.
I don't need rich people's problems. I need to pay my bills and to be left to do what I am passionate about.
Correct.
And that means maximum. I would say maximum would be $3,000 a month. I believe I could do what I want,
mm-hmm.
live comfortably, save a little bit, and have some vacation time mm-hmm. that's not work-related for as little as $3,000 a month.
Yeah, I'm a little different just because of other external responsibilities, but
sure.
You know, I'm
but
making,
it's not much.
No. Like, I'm making way too much right now. I mean, if I, you know, ultimately. However, if I was making what I make right now doing film, I would be ecstatic. And that is nothing to a filmmaker. What I'm making is nothing.
Right.
So if I could just make this, well, I'm sorry, nothing to a Hollywood filmmaker.
Yeah.
But again, you also have Hollywood problems.
Right.
Hollywood rent, Hollywood mortgage, Hollywood taxes. So, you know, it's kind of, I mean, you know, what sucks is we could produce porn, work half a year and live like kings, but that's not, you know, well,
really?
I'm not saying that's not necessary. Well, you have to find the contacts. That's tough.
Right.
But
I mean, we could produce it.
That's true. We could. I never thought about that. Hmm.
Don't have to get your hands dirty producing.
Well, but getting your hands dirty when it comes to porn is the fun part, isn't it? No, I just the equipment costs.
Not
alone.
For me anymore.
I've seen enough behind the scenes to know that, like, those cameras are only good for two or three shoots, and then they're just garbage. So, and that's if you take care of them. You got to
right.
seal them up and do all that jazz. Plus, there's the insurance, the health insurance you have to do, all that stuff. But I don't know. I obviously want to do narrative work, not
right.
necessarily bonative work.
But if we could do 6 months of bonative work to pay for
six months
of narrative work?
Yeah. Well, my understanding is the reason people get into porn is very similar to that, and they don't get out because it turns out if you do it for 12 months, you make a shit ton of money. So.
But if we make a business pact.
True. That's true.
That we do it for 24 months and make the shitload of money that we need to get through
right.
the next 6 years.
So be it, yeah.
Hmm.
We have 4K cameras.
Producing.
Right.
Nobody wants to see 4K porn.
Oh, I beg to differ. They are clamoring for. Not necessarily.
If
we
can't hide Lord of the Rings makeup effects.
The thing is, you have to find people who take care of themselves.
True. Yeah. So you mean we're not going a federal way?
Maybe post is a little more expensive in that, you know, because you got to track and blemish remove,
yeah,
and blemish remove and blemish remove.
Remove.
You know,
and,
did he use the bidet? No. Okay.
Nope.
Well, we're gonna have to take care of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Does Red Giant have an artificial asshole bleach?
Red Giant would be the one that would have to, just because of its name.
Yes. So anyway. Again, just to be clear, producing, not editing, not posting, not doing sound design. Nope. Just going, hey, you guys go make that happen and pay us money. That's
yep.
what we want to do. Getting out of this terrible
hole
I put us in. Dennis Nichols says, assuming your current names in the film world are your legal names,
mm-hmm.
have you thought about alternate, quote, stage names before? What names might be on the list for consideration?
So I don't have to. A lot of stage names. So stage names usually come for two reasons. Well, three. There's anonymity,
mm-hmm.
Which tends to fall apart really quick. There's basically saturation of the name. One of our friends he took his stage name because his real legal name was already in use in Seattle theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you guys figure out who that is. And then the last reason is because your name is like really, it's like mine. It's hard to pronounce or sounds weird or is too ethnic, or like a lot of Jewish people change their names. You know, John Stewart was born John Schwartz, stuff like that. For me, I have no reason to change my name. Lily Sobieski did it. I think I'm at least as pretty as her. So
yeah, at least
Roman Polanski, he's fine. So Andy Dobrowski can be fine. But yeah, overall, like for you, the reason that I would see would be that there are a lot of Scott Browns. Mm-hmm. It is a common saturated name. So that's why you've added the C, or you've made sure that the C is everywhere, because, but even then you end up with some douche knock dude who bought all of your fucking domains.
Yeah.
So
he's also a web designing actor from Oregon, yes,
but he's also Scott C. Brown.
Yeah.
I assume his C stands for something else.
Cocksucker.
That's the one.
Yep. Yeah, I was for a moment very intelligent, and when we shot Dorkness and they were talking about doing IMDb credit, I looked for, I was like, oh, there's a thing I can, okay, great, Scott Brown. There were 10 of them,
mm-hmm.
and they were Scott Brown, parentheses, two. One,
Scott, yeah,
all the way down to X, and I was like, Scott C. Dot Brown, none. Think that's who I'm going to be. And I worked really hard to have that in theater and in mm-hmm. film. And now I've got Scott C. Scobro.
I like Scott C.
Scobro
I love because like that was my original.
Yeah.
Hey Scobro. What's
and,
up?
And it's worked out. But a lot of people are like where they don't need to. And I used to do this. I do it so much. I used to do it on my signature
mm-hmm.
when I would send something into a tech request. Thanks for your help, Scott C. Brown. They need Scott. They need Scott Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need Scott C. Brown. But now a lot of people are just, it used to be a joke. Now it's not a joke, which is wonderful. But I did at one point, because I have four names, was thinking about Cameron Scott because
mm-hmm. oh then you can be C. Scott Brown
or Joseph Cameron
uh-huh.
But the funny thing, just a digression on all of this, growing up as a Scott Brown, of which there were five Scots in my scout troop, I desperately always wanted a nickname
mm-hmm.
and I have one built into my name. I could have been CJ.
You could have been CJ.
But I didn't think of that until, well, Scobro was already available.
Yeah,
so we went with that. But, yeah. So at one point, I did think about it. But for me, it's too fucking confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't set out to be this. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to be in showbiz. Here's my stage name. I'm going to have an mm-hmm. alter ego. And I'm really glad that I don't have an actor page. Well, there exists an actor page on Facebook, and at mm-hmm. some point I'm going to need to shunt everything over to that.
Mm-hmm.
But until that day, I now have family
mm-hmm.
who was never using Facebook. So mm-hmm. it was like, okay, who cares?
Right.
Now I have family, and I have family friends who are using it, and so it's like, okay, now I might start
moving shunting over to creative a fan into page, that. Yeah.
And have a fan page, but I've never felt that I was anything other than, hey, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I considered, because again, my last name is pretty hellish in terms mm-hmm. of spelling and whatnot. I considered Andy Wayne because I also have two middle names, but I won't the second one. No fucking way. If I was doing porn, it would be Hugh Jorgen for sure. My other middle name is.
Right.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Although there is a very famous, awesome dude who has
Lee,
that.
Mr. Lee? The Lee Marvin?
No.
Oh.
Oh. I was thinking of Mr. Tool.
Oh.
Because I thought it was that M.
No, it's not Maynard. No. Okay. it's Marvin. So.
Oh, okay.
Lee Marvin, that, yeah. Andy Marvin. Yeah, I like Andy Wayne, though. That's not bad. It's like Batman. Yeah. Or, you know, it's Batman's cousin.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There you go. Dennis also asks, what would you guys do for a Klondike bar? I'd
go
fucking
buy one.
Cut you.
I would fucking go buy one. I'm a grown-ass adult. Oh, you're going to cut him? I'm just going to go to the store and not have a felony and plop down my $1.45.
I'm assuming, because it's Dennis, that he's taunting me with it in his hand. Oh. What would you do for a Klondike bar?
Yeah.
What would you do for a Klondike
okay.
bar? I would fucking cut him. I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to beat him
you're
up.
You're not even going to eat the Klondike bar. You're
no,
just, you want
I'm
him
just
to
going to
around.
Cut him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't, that's Klondike bar. It's, that's a lot of fucking calories for not very much taste. I think I'll skip the Klondike bar.
What would you do for a Heath Toffee Klondike bar?
I'm not a Heath Toffee fan, my friend. And I know that's probably, I know that's probably like sacrilege, but I am not a, I'm not a fan of the Heath Toffees. Well, I'm a fan of the Heath Toffees. I'll do whatever you want me to do for a Klondike bar, whatever, you know. Klondike stuff, I guess, you know.
I'll go mine for gold.
Yeah.
In the Klondike for a Klondike bar. Hold it. If it's a gold Klondike bar.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a lot of money.
I'll let you cut me.
Who would you kill for a Klondike bar?
Rob McLennan writes, if you could learn one mundane skill from a fantasy role-playing game in real life, what would it be?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think of like my mundane skill list. Encumbrances, ropes, knots, probably. Well, no, not tying. Do cantrips count? No, cantrips aren't mundane. I can basketball, some potteries, animal husbandries. Yeah, probably like the ranger shit, the herb identification or something. So that if I was ever out in the forest, like identify mushroom would be my probably premier. Like that's the one I'd want in Washington.
Yeah.
That would do me no good in Arizona where I can't burn or cut down a cactus.
Mm-mm.
But in Washington, or sorry. No, that was Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The cactus was Arizona. You know, maybe that law is in place so that you can't harvest peyote.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd probably go with some type of nature-based identification. I don't need dungeoneering, that's for sure.
I was going to go with, like, sneak and balance.
Okay. Yeah, those are good. Those are good.
Just because I assume sneak and balance would give me more flexibility than I have now. And I need to not be aerial cable and be more like coaxial cable.
Correct. Which you can still use to beat a fucker up.
Oh yeah.
But
oh, that hurts.
Yeah, but it packs away nicer.
Yeah. It goes around corners.
True.
Yeah, Paula Moran says or asks. Oh no, she says. Paula Moran says, "You could do a dueling dialect segment. You could do dueling dialect." Wow, I can't read English.
You could do dueling dialects as a segment.
On that subject, how do you keep one dialect without slipping into another?
Well, funny you should say that, because just today. Oh man. Well, and when we met.
Yeah, that's
what
I was thinking
about. We've talked about that before, I think, already. But
yeah, do you want to start with Spanish or French or British, and we'll see how far we can go.
Yeah, so because I was French the first night when we met at the murder mystery, and God, who was I? It was Dr. Durand. What starts with an A? I forget. Like Otter. Anyway, I used to remember it. I don't anymore. But slipping happens.
Yeah.
It just happens. And the only way you can get back into it is to go find a place away from everyone and find it again. Like that's the best way. Unless you have a tape or CD or MP3 or something auditory that you can listen to get it back. It's really difficult to get it back while other people are talking. So,
yeah, and it's a lot of it is focus and intent.
Mm-hmm.
If I am on stage in a play and I have to have a British accent, and Andy has to have a French accent, oui, I am going to have a much different focus than if we're having fun at a murder mystery.
Correct.
And not taking it very seriously. Mm-hmm. Although I was really, really desperately trying to take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have accents that bleed into one another. To Kill a Mockingbird, in my opinion, and I won't name names because I believe there's some folks that listen to the show, there was a character who had a Southern dialect who every once in a while would sort of move into this Kennedy-esque dialect. And because a lot of the sounds that you make sound the same in various dialecting, and you all of a sudden it's just like, boom, okay, now I'm gravitating towards that. I'm trying to do Chicago. Ah, I'm doing the Chicago. I'm in the Windy City, and all of a sudden I'm in New York because I just did the thing. And
hey, you know, and then get out of here, and you know what? Hey, you're in Boston all of a sudden, huh? Why'd you come to Boston, huh? Get out of here, you freaking
wicked pisser,
you prevert.
you need to go get your car started.
Yeah. The other thing I found really helpful is if you're doing a dialect for a script, specifically, not just improvising a dialect, but if you're doing a dialect for a script, you find keywords that get you back to the dialect. Because you can drift in a sentence, and as long as you hit those keywords, no one will notice.
Yeah.
So, car is a good one. Like, you know, if you're in Boston, any word with a hard R becomes suddenly a really important word to sort of look at there. And
yeah, and half.
Half.
I mean, it's not half, it's half. And identifying those things. Or if you can
God, it's a monster. Ah, it's a monster, Jerry. Or whatever that guy's name was.
If you could find...
It's a fucking sea monster.
Phrases. So, like, I was asked, and my friend David Nail were asked when we did Sins of the Mother, mm-hmm, how do you get a Boston dialect? Now, my mom's from Maine. I spent a little time in Maine as a young child, but I've not been around Bostonians.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, park the car in Harvard Yard,
mm-hmm,
and then try to say, Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Everywhere.
You sound Boston, because I just parked the car in Harvard Yard puts my brain in a place that's Boston.
Ah, yeah.
I don't know why.
You fucking gone to Chelsea, you fucking wank.
And people will do that with Southern. I mean, do you want to be Texas? Do you want to be Louisiana? Do you want to be Kansas? It's all Southern drawl at various ends of the spectrum. So if there's something that you know, or a famous person has said something, and you know, oh, okay, Sissy Spacek says this, and you can say that, you can tend to lock into what that flavor is.
I don't know where it went, but there's a really good article. It might even be Cracked, which of all things, I know, good article in Cracked. But, well, some of their articles are great. Mm-hmm. Some of them are terrible, and some of them are just kind of recycled BuzzFeed, which... Don't do that. BuzzFeed shouldn't do that. But there was it was talking about how in Hollywood it's been decided that there are two types of Southern accents. There's the Georgia plantation owner, which if you watch House of Cards, essentially Kevin Spacey likes to sit on the porch and drink a mint julep as the sun goes down. And then you've got your sort of Texan, like just your drawl here where you do the... and then there are certain actors who do very specific weird accents that don't quite fit in. I think Jeff Bridges was brought up post Big Lebowski. He kind of started just going off the rails with that True Grit accent, and that's like 100% of what he does now. So that's interesting. But then you look at someone like, Christian Bale, who fucking researches his accents.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the boxing movie, he does a Boston accent.
Oh yeah.
Like that's a real...
And it's Southie Boston.
It's Southie Boston, but it's Southie hot Boston. And it's not someone affecting, like what we're doing is affecting a Bostonian act. That was a Bostonian accent. I mean, someone from Boston would be like, oh yeah, he's probably from, just south of the tracks. He's seems mm-hmm. like a good guy, you know. So yeah, but then and then like one of the best accents in movies got basically glossed over because people thought it was too comical, but it was a really good accent. And that was Leo in Blood Diamond, DiCaprio in Blood Diamond. His South African was very, very, very well researched and correct. And if you watch District 9, you'll be like, oh, yeah, it was totally, that was a good South African accent. Because it doesn't sound like what you expect. Because a South African who comes to the United States, who like is in the United States, starts to sound Australian.
Mm-hmm.
With a little bit of weird German and Frenchish pronunciation there. But a South African in South Africa drops prepositions. They drop tons of words. They, you know, it's heavy on slang. It's a much more Germanic version of sort of an Australian accent with mm-hmm. thick, you know. Watch that Ice-T movie where he goes to South Africa with what's her name in it? Oh, come on, who am I thinking of?
Anti-Tank not Anti-Tank Sally. That's Jen. The one that kind of inspired that, where he's a kangaroo.
Kangaroo Jack?
Yeah.
No, that's not South Africa. That would be Australia. No, it's in Johannesburg, South Africa, I believe. It's Ice-T, and she was married to Hugh Grant, and then he cheated on her with a hooker.
Oh, right. Mike Myers.
Austin Powers.
Austin Powers.
Liz Hurley. Liz Hurley. Oh, my brain. Elizabeth Hurley is South African.
Mm-hmm.
Her South African accent in that is really interesting because it's not what she sounds like in Hollywood movies. Yeah. So, because she always affects British in Hollywood movies.
Right. Timmy Martin writes in.
Yes, Tim. Visual, we will come to your place for dinner. Jeez.
Yeah. With a visual. So he says, this is how I got through episodes 114 and 114.5 with a picture of a popcorn machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a popcorn machine at the works. And the haunted house...
Pinball machine.
Yep. Was used while waiting for said popcorn. I highly recommend popcorn for 114 and 114.5.
So if you haven't listened to it yet, again, why are you listening to this one?
Right.
Jump back, make some popcorn, and enjoy.
And the last question... and. We've gone over a fucking hour again.
Of course we have.
Jesus.
We're awesome. Popcorn, I hope you guys are reading it.
Rob McLennan writes, you guys enjoying Z Nation? I'm assuming season two.
Yeah,
I have enjoyed Z Nation season one. Zombie Mennonites, Lucy the baby zombie Jesus, Keter doing a whole pharmacy, what's not to love? So, I'm not sure about Keter doing a whole pharmacy.
Oh, I've seen it. It's great.
But that
it's
goes
grand.
Back to two bards.
No, I don't.
Suck.
I'm not talking about on Z Nation. I'm talking in real life.
Right.
He
can clear out a pharmacy in
time. He goes right for the hillbilly heroin too.
Yeah.
He is an oxy. He does an oxy clean out, I guess. What you're saying. No, I haven't watched it because I want to binge it.
Yeah.
So. I'm just being honest. I don't watch shows until I can binge them.
Yep. And
even when my friends are in them, I don't watch them until I can binge them.
Yeah. And I'm excited about season two because while there have been a lot of LA actors who now want to be a part of this and are illegally working as local hires.
Well, they did live here for 6 months to do it. Well, they had a PO box here for
right.
6 months.
So they paid the $25 mm-hmm. to get a PO box. They are still managing to find places to fit in local
yep.
people, and they opened that up to the west side of the state
Woo!
A lot more in season two, which is awesome.
Yep.
And of course, all of your standards are still there, and some come back, and some come back that you... Yeah. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited to see what getting that confidence of sci-fi behind them to go, yeah, here's two, and we're pretty sure there's going to be a three.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think Did they just wrap finally?
I think so. I think so.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to enjoying it.
Yeah, same here. So wow, we suck at doing short podcasts, but I mean, you guys know that. You knew that. You knew it, and you love it. So let's go ahead and say some thank yous.
Okay. So
hold on, I'm going to be a little noisy for a second while I actually get over to an angle where all of the words aren't stretched out to infinity.
Okay. So I think
you get to start.
I get to start.
Yep.
So to all of our Patreon subscribers, whether we name you or not, thank you so much. And to William Hawks Robinson,
Leslie Sedlak,
Todd McKimmy,
Donald Evans,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Bradley Swan,
Trampas Johnson,
Gordon DeDuke,
Digby Davis LLC,
Paula Moran,
Amanda Cook,
Mark Bevier,
James Herbert,
Adam Morey,
Matthew Hunt,
Tim Martin,
Rob
who's eating popcorn?
Rob McLennan,
Lotta Jer,
Laura Adams,
Tom Brophy,
Tom Stewart,
Doogie Sharp,
Justin Everett,
Brittany Bentley,
Brad Roberts,
Jennifer Reifenberry.
Rival guy.
Chad Jones.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you
for your continued support.
From the bottom of Scott's phlegmy lungs. And Neil deGrasse.
If you're listening.
Please be listening. Please come on our show.
I mean, 115, more than 115 times.
Uh-huh, we've asked.
Because there's the 85-6C and the
yeah, I think we've asked
114.5.
So. We've asked more than once on one show, too.
Yes.
So come on down.
Come on down and explain why I am so phlegmy.
Yes. That's a weird thing.
And the solar science behind it.
But let's talk galaxies and let's talk how small the Star Trek universe really is, for example. Because it's tiny. You look at a map of the galaxy, it's just this little cube. Tiny, tiny little guy. Live long and prosper.